See the ascending staircase there, and it's symbolic of our study, stepping stones to God's heart, as we're working our way through the Psalms of Ascent and learning how to draw closer to God in our everyday lives as we seek to meet with Him, both every day here on earth and eventually to meet with Him for all of eternity in heaven. Last week we looked at Psalm 123. Which was all about looking to the Lord for mercy. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 124, which in some ways serves as an answer to last week's psalm. Because Psalm 123 was a cry for mercy, and Psalm 124 describes God's merciful deliverance. And Psalm 124, it's all about depending on God. And it's a psalm that points us entirely to God and to His help. There's no stealing of glory for yourself in this psalm. All the glory, all the credit goes to the Lord. So we're in Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8. And if you'll please stand with me now for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. This is God's holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we need you this morning, Lord, and we need this psalm. We need the truths of this psalm to work their way deep into our hearts. And so, Lord, as we study this psalm today, Lord, may we not simply study it for information, but may we study it to learn more of your heart for us and your love for us. And may we draw closer to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, as we begin the message this morning, I want you to think of a time when you knew that you were completely dependent on God, a time where you knew that if God did not come through for you, you were sunk. It was all over. You know, if not for God, I'm done. I want you to think about that time. For me, I think back to the year 2009 when I felt led by the Lord to move my family from Massachusetts back down here to South Florida, even though we had no house and no job waiting. And that was a challenging number of months for us. I remember someone congratulating me at one point saying, wow, you really took a step of faith there, didn't you? And I told them, hey, I'm still in the middle of that step, right? You know, we haven't landed on the other side yet. We're in midair. And if God doesn't catch us, we're going down, right? You know, and it's easy to point to those times of trouble or crisis or trial when we are especially dependent upon God. But the truth of the matter is this, that we are all completely dependent on God all the time. We need God. We need Jesus Christ. And we need Him every day, and we need Him for all things. In our psalm this morning, Psalm 124 imagines what would happen if God wasn't there, if God did not intervene to help. In some ways, it's almost the exact opposite of that old John Lennon song you might remember, Imagine. Yeah, John Lennon, in his song, he imagined a world without God and without heaven, and somehow he thought that that would be a much better place. Well, Psalm 124 imagines what would it be like without God, and it is a picture of complete and utter devastation. You could also call this psalm The Great Escape. Maybe you remember the movie by that title a number of years back, The Great Escape, because in this psalm, the psalmist escapes great danger. An almost certain disaster. But unlike the movie, he doesn't escape because of his own skill or ingenuity, but he escapes because God is there, God is on his side, and God is the one who intervenes to help. At its core, Psalm 124 teaches you that you can depend on God and that you must depend on Him if you want to make it safely to the other side. And in teaching us to depend on God, the psalm encourages us to do three things in particular. I've got them all in your outline in the bulletin this morning if you want to take that out to follow along. But it teaches us, first of all, to affirm the difference that God makes in your life. That's where we'll start this morning. And then number two, to praise God for his protection and deliverance in your life. And then thirdly, to tell others how God has helped you. So let's take a look at all three of these. First of all, affirm the difference that God makes in your life. So look at verses 1 through 5 with me now as we get started. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. And here the psalmist is encouraging, really, all of Israel to affirm the difference that God makes. And the key word in this section is that word if. Did you see that word if there? It's a tiny little word, but boy, does it have big implications. And here the ifs focus on what might have happened if not for God. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been wiped out. We would have been destroyed. And I want you to notice how that phrase, if the Lord had not been on our side, how it's repeated there. And that's for emphasis, but it's also because the second time it is spoken as an affirmation. Did you notice that? First, the psalmist says it, if the Lord had not been on our side. But then he encourages all of Israel to repeat it as an affirmation of their faith and an affirmation of this truth. I like the way Eugene Peterson translates this phrase in his Bible paraphrase, The Message. And he translates it this way. Instead of let all Israel say, he puts it this way. All together now, Israel, sing out. I like that. So everyone, let's all sing it out together, right? If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been destroyed. Well, that's a pretty big difference, isn't it? God makes all the difference. And the psalmist uses very striking flood imagery in this section to highlight this difference. You know, if the Lord had not been on our side when those men attacked, he says, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent swept over us. The raging waters swept us away. And so this isn't sort of like a slow rising of water that might cause flooding damage in your home. This is a flash flood. This is a tsunami where the waves come crashing in and the rushing waters swallow you alive. And they sweep you away and everything else in its path. And the psalmist said, if the Lord had not been on our side, it would have been all over. But the good news is it's not all over. He's saying we survived the attack. And the bottom line is we're still here. And if God is on your side, what difference does it make? It makes all the difference in the world. And the psalmist knows this, and he remembers it, he acknowledges it, and he encourages all of Israel to affirm it with him. All together now, Israel, sing out. You see, it's good to review God's past deliverances in your life. It's good to review even all the might have beens, because those will give you confidence for the present and hope for the future. And this whole first section of the psalm should really prompt you to ask two questions that have very profound implications for your life. Where would you be without God? And if God is for us, who can be against us? First of all, where would you be without God? Think about that for a moment. I heard somebody gasp back there. Where would you be without God? What would your life be like if God had not helped you, protected you, saved you, changed you? Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And if a man remains in me, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And do you believe that this morning, that without God and Jesus Christ in your life, that you can do nothing of lasting value? Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 says this, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, Jesus just said, without me, you can do nothing. So if you think you can do it all without God and without Christ, if you think you can successfully navigate life without God, you are deceiving yourself. You might say, well, I've gotten along fine without him so far. Really? Who gave you your life? Who showers you with blessings every day? Are you going to take the credit for all of those things? There's an old song I like. It's a song that's sung to God. The words go like this. Without you, it's hard to explain. You could say I'm like a cloud without rain, or a raging forest fire without a flame. Without you, I know I'm to blame. Without you, it's all in vain. So that's the first question that this first section brings up. Where would you be without God? And then the second question, also very profound, is this. If God is for us, who can be against us? And what a comfort it is to know going through life that if you are in Christ, then God is for you, that God is on your side. If you go back to verses 1 and 2 and you look at that phrase, had been on our side, in the original Hebrew, that phrase is actually the past tense of a more familiar phrase to us, the word Emmanuel. You know, we hear that word every Christmas. It means God is with us. Well, verses 1 and 2 is saying Emmanuel, past tense, God was with us. He's been on our side. And when God is with you, Emmanuel, that makes all the difference. For one thing, you don't need to be afraid anymore. Psalm 118:6 says this, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? If you go back to verse 2 in Psalm 124, where it talks about when men attacked us. The Hebrew word for men there is the word Adam. Adam, it's a general word for man, and you know what it means? It literally means ground or dust. You know, God names the first man Adam. Why? Because he came from the dust of the earth. And so the idea here in Psalm 124, and then also here in Psalm 118:6, is why fear that which is made from the ground or the dust? Why fear man when you have God on your side? And then a second comfort in having God on your side is this, is that God will give you everything you need in life. And that's what we read in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God gave you Jesus, if he gave up his own son for you on the cross, you can rest assured that he will give you everything else that you need as well. How do you acknowledge your complete dependence on God? That's what we're talking about this morning. First of all, affirm it. Affirm the difference that God makes in your life. Where would you be without God? And if God is for us, who can be against us? And then secondly, we move from affirmation to praise. Praise God for his protection and deliverance in your life. Look at verses 6 and 7 with me now. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. And here the psalmist moves on from what might have happened to what actually did happen. And so God not only delivers you from potential dangers, that's what we saw in verses 1 through 5, he also delivers you from present dangers. And that's what we see here in verses 6 and 7. Notice the repetitions once again. The psalmist does this for emphasis. Twice he speaks about escaping. Twice he mentions this snare. And there are a couple things these verses will teach you about praising God for his protection and deliverance in your life. First of all, God protects you when you are in danger. We see that in verse 6. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. And here the imagery changes. We had the flood imagery earlier. Now the image is that of a wild animal, right? This beast. And maybe it was already hinted at earlier with the being swallowed alive. It's hard to tell. Is that the animal swallowing you alive or the flood swallowing you alive? But it's very clear here when that phrase, torn by their teeth, it's a picture of a wild animal attacking you and tearing at you and tearing at your flesh. The psalmist says, God did not let that happen to Israel. The Bible is full of God's promises to protect you, to protect his people. We read one earlier, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. That's the flood imagery. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. We go back to one of the earlier Psalms of ascent, Psalm 121, that we heard these words sung this morning. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Life is a spiritual battle. And as Christians, we are not exempt from the battle. In fact, we're enlisted for the front lines. And as a Christian, you must be ready to experience persecution. You must be ready to suffer for your faith. Verse 3, talked in Psalm 124, verse 3, talked about the anger of the men who attacked. Well, guess what? People get angry at the church, don't they? And they will get angry at you when you speak up for the truth or when you stand up for the truth. But take heart, because God is at your side. And he protects you when you are in danger. And then secondly, he rescues you when you are trapped. We see this in verse 7. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Now, I don't want you to read too much into the name Fowler there, okay? Okay, this is not a prophecy about your pastor, okay? I always feel a little weird when I read that verse. There's another one in Psalm 91. I've got all the Fowler verses memorized. It's like, really, Lord? But the imagery is shifting here again now. This time it goes to the fowler. Can we call him the trapper? Okay. It goes to the trapper and the snare. And so we actually have three major images throughout the psalm, don't we? First the flood, then the wild animal, and then the snare. And guess what? The psalmist escapes all three of them. This really is the great escape. He's escaped the raging waters of the flood. He's escaped the ravenous jaws of the wild animal. And finally, he has escaped the trapper's snare. Now, I want you to notice, he was actually in the snare. He was actually trapped in that snare at one time. It's not that he avoided the snare. He was trapped. He was trapped, and then he escaped. And this is another image of our complete and utter dependence on God. Because let me tell you something, you don't get out of the snare on your own. Once you're trapped, you're trapped. But here God comes along and he breaks the snare and he sets you free. You can apply this image to so many areas of your life. You can apply it to trials and temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, a way of escape, so that you can stand up under it. What does God do? He provides that way. He breaks the snare. You might say, I'm trapped in this sin, Pastor. I don't think I'll ever break it. God will break the snare. You come to him. He will provide a way out that you may escape. You can also apply it to your salvation. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:26, he says that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. There was a time in your life when you were trapped in sin, you were trapped by the devil, and then Jesus came along, and he sprung the trap, he broke the snare, and he set you free. Praise the Lord. And the good news of Psalm 124 is that what might have happened didn't happen. You might have been trapped in sin for life. That didn't happen. You might have died without Christ and gone to an eternity in hell. That didn't happen. And the reason it didn't happen is because of God. God makes all the difference. He helps us against all the odds. And so what do? We praise him. We sing praises to his name. That's our second application of these verses this morning. Praise God for his protection and deliverance in your life. How do you acknowledge your complete dependence on God? Number one, affirm the difference God makes in your life. Number two, praise him. Praise him for his protection and his deliverance in your life. And then thirdly, tell other people how God has helped you. We see this in verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And this verse connects back to the opening verses of Psalm 121, where, you know, the verses that we memorize for day, right? I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We mentioned at the beginning of the series that this phrase, God is the maker of heaven and earth, shows up three times in the Psalms of Ascent, right near the beginning in Psalm 121, more towards the middle here. And it's going to close out. The very last words of Psalm 134 at the end will be God, the maker of heaven and earth. But here in verse 8, the emphasis really falls on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, right? Our help is in the name of the Lord. Well, what's the name of the Lord? Well, the name of the Lord is Yahweh. That's his covenant name. God's name speaks of his character, his faithfulness, his presence, his power, all of his attributes. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Now contrast the name of the Lord here in verse 8 back to those men. Man, they looked so scary back in verse 2, didn't they? Those men who were attacking us and were angry at us, and they came in like a flood sweeping everything away. They looked really scary, didn't they? But now we go, no, my help is in the name of the Lord. Men versus God. Who's going to win? God every time. Once again, why fear that which comes from the ground or the dust when God is on your side? And so it's very interesting when you trace the progression of the psalm, you'll notice that first of all, what does the psalmist do? He encourages all of Israel to affirm the difference God makes, affirmation. And then next, the psalmist gives praise to God for his protection and deliverance. And then finally, the psalmist testifies that it is the Lord who has helped them. And so the psalm moves from affirmation to praise to testimony. Yeah, you escaped, but why did you escape? It's because the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is on your side. And if God made the heavens and the earth, folks, he can help you. He can do anything. And so you can trust him. You can depend on him. What is the psalmist doing here? He is testifying to the Lord that God is the one who's helped him when he was in trouble. And we need to do the same. We need to tell others how God has helped us. We can't keep that to ourselves. There are two things we need to do here. First of all, be sure to give God the glory for what he has done. Give God the glory for what he has done. Psalm 115, verse 1 says this, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name. My help is in the name of the Lord. To your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness." Have you escaped from trouble? Did you take that step of faith and you actually landed on the other side? We did. All glory to God. We would have fallen without him. Have you survived the flood? Don't take the credit for yourself, but give credit where credit is due. Give God the glory for what he has done. There's a beautiful story in the New Testament where Jesus encounters this man who's possessed by many demons. This man was a wreck. I mean, he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him, we're told, not even with a chain. Night and day, he's running among the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. And Jesus comes along, and he casts those demons out of his body. And for the first time in a very long time, this man is free, and he is in his right mind. And he just begs with Jesus, "Let me go with you, let me go with you." And Jesus said, "No." This is what he told him, Mark 5:19. He said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." What did Jesus do? He told the man, "Go home and testify. Tell others how God has helped you. Give God the glory for rescuing you when you were helpless, when you were trapped in the snare of the enemy." So give God the glory for what he has done, and then encourage others to depend on God too. See, God can use your testimony to encourage other people to recognize that they also need God, to understand that they are completely dependent on God, that they are not going to make it without him. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Too many people trust in their own abilities and in their own resources when they need to be trusting in the Lord. The story is told of Muhammad Ali, who was on a plane once. The stewardess told him to put on a seatbelt. Ali told her, he said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Well, Superman don't need no plane either." How many of us think that we're Superman? That we're invincible? That we don't need God's help? And this is so true, especially when it comes to salvation. We think we're pretty good people. We don't need God. We can make it to heaven on our own. But Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this about Jesus. It says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name." We're talking about the name of the Lord here. "No other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Salvation comes only through Jesus and only through the name of Jesus. And so we need to encourage others to depend on God, not just for their struggles in life, but for their very salvation. We need to tell them salvation is found in Christ. You need to turn to him. Psalm 124, verse 8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." Well, what's the name of the Lord? His name is Jesus. And salvation comes only through him. And so how do you acknowledge your complete dependence on God? Affirm the difference that God makes in your life. Praise God for his protection, for his deliverance, for his salvation. And then go forth and testify and tell others how God has helped you, how he has saved you. What a difference God makes in your life. Let's do this. Let's do this all together now, right? All together now. Let the whole church say it. If the Lord had not been on our side. Will you say it with me? If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swept away. Again, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have perished. Again, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been trapped. One more time. If the Lord had not been on our side, folks, there would be no hope. There would be no deliverance. There would be no salvation. And I can testify to you this morning, everything good in my life I owe to God and to Jesus Christ. And I can assure you this morning that you can depend on God, that he has never turned away anyone that comes to him. You can trust him with your life. You need God. You need Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for being our God. Some may trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of Jesus. Lord, we affirm that you have made all the difference in our lives. We praise you for your salvation. Now, Lord, help us to go forth and to testify, to tell our family and our friends and our coworkers and even complete strangers when you open the opportunity that you are God, that Jesus is Lord, and that our help is in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.